Thank you very much, Brad, for that introduction, and to John Poulson, the State President of CEDA. Ladies and gentlemen, first can I just say to CEDA, thank you and well done on hosting today's forum. To have a group of people who objectively look at the economic and political conditions within the state is important, and Australia could do well with more of this sort of open public debate. Today is just about 6 months since the last state election. During that election campaign, I campaigned principally on the notion of honesty and integrity in government. I also said that if elected, we would seek to provide good government to Western Australia, and that we would seek to restore the reputation of this state. I guess in time, you and other voters will be the judge of whether we've succeeded in that. I also set a standard in coming to government, and that included that I would require ministers to make decisions, and I continually repeat that. The job of a minister is to assess the policy advice, the public position, the politics even, and then make decisions. I also said that this government will deal with problems when they arise, not ignore them, not pretend they're not there. An example would be dealing with the issues at the Esperance Port relating to lead and, to a lesser extent, nickel export. Also, in whatever we do, that we would also aim always to make decisions that improve the quality and access to services, whether they be in education, health, law and order, wherever. And fourthly, that we would be a government that would simply tell it as it is. We would not engage in spin and media manipulation. That may frustrate the media, that you don't get 20 media releases a day, but we will simply tell it as it is and deal with it. I want to lead a good, honest, common sense government that is committed to the economic development and social advancement of this state. Now, CEDA, being about the economy and finance, what I'm obviously going to talk about today is economics and financial aspects. But as important, and perhaps the opportunity will arise in the next few months, it is as important that a government also outlines its objectives and plans in the areas of social policy and in the area of the environment. And I assure you, those two areas will not be neglected by this government. Circumstances have meant, obviously, that economic matters have tended to be at the forefront during these first 6 months. Shortly after coming into government, obviously the global financial crisis hit. It had its origins through subprime lending, reckless, irresponsible behaviour by the international financial sector, and lax, poor regulation in many countries. That's the reality, and I guess the collapse of Lehman Brothers would probably stand historically as the shift from concern to turmoil. Governments around the world have responded quickly, perhaps more quickly than in previous periods of financial or economic crisis. And one may question the merit of some of the measures used, but what we've basically seen is a whole series of financial rescues and banking rescues. We've basically seen almost nationalisation of many parts of the international banking system. We've, in a sense, seen capitalism roll back. I'm not sure that's necessarily a good outcome, but it is the reality that we deal with. In terms of the major economies of the world, and I'm sure that's been mentioned along the way this morning, but there's no doubt the world is in recession. The US is in decline, probably a couple of percent at least. Europe, probably negative growth of at least 3% or more. Japan, similar scale. Australia, official forecast, or the Commonwealth forecast, still talk about Australia achieving a 1-2% growth. I doubt that will be realised. I would expect Australia will also have a period of negative growth and actually slide into recession. Hopefully not as severe as North America or Europe, and hopefully not as long. We are fortunate the Australian financial system is stronger, and that we have benefited from a strong level of financial regulation. Indeed, so has Japan to some extent. Despite the turndown in the Japanese economy, their financial sector went through the cleansing process following their bubble economy. So that's one part that may be better off than some of the initial sort of growth figures would suggest. Now, Western Australia, we're clearly not immune from that. We are affected by international trends in the economic growth rates or contraction rates, and we're also affected by what happens at a national level. However, the important point is that the structure of the West Australian economy is fundamentally different than those countries overseas to whom we sell, and is fundamentally different than much of Australia. You will not see the extent to which, for example, Queensland has been hit by the downturn in the property sector. Sure, it's a factor here, but not to the same degree. Nor will you see the extent to which Sydney itself has been affected by the downturn in the financial sector and all the services that surround that. Yes, our banking sector is affected, but not to the same degree. Similarly, we don't have a large manufacturing sector, and we won't face the despair that is prevalent in New South Wales, Victoria, and South Australia. We are different. Our economy, as we all know, is very much driven by primary production, agriculture, and dominantly by the mining and petroleum industry. We've got a bit of every other sector, but it's mining, petroleum, and farming that drive the West Australian economy. As such, what matters to us most are exports and the price of those exports and investment in major projects. This state has always lived or died by big investment decisions, big projects, and bold decisions. That's our history, and there is nothing new about this experience. This is a sharp downturn. It's one precipitated and concentrated in the financial sector, but we have been there before. We were just talking at the table about 1987. When that downturn occurred, it probably had an exaggerated effect on Western Australia because it came on top of all the WA Inc. events, and we saw a whole series of financial collapses in this state at that time. We are not about to see that this time. Nevertheless, we are affected. It's interesting. If you look at exports, the state last year, over 2008, exported $84 billion worth of product. Extraordinary. 38% of Australia's merchandise exports. Our investment, business investment, was 18% up on the previous year. And many of those investment projects are still continuing on. You will see continuing strong investment. So we're coming from a very high level. Commodity prices, yep, that's what drives us and it's what drives the Australian dollar. And they have come down. I mean, internationally, across the board, commodity prices are down about 60%. We've also seen the Australian dollar fall, so the net effect is our commodity prices here, on average, down about 40%. It's a pretty big hit. But again, many sales are on long-term contract. Commodity prices don't necessarily affect returns. In government, I'm sure Tim Marnie probably went through this morning, basically, we've lost $1 billion of revenue a year. Doesn't sound too bad if you say it quickly, but it's a hell of a lot of money. And that's the effect that the state government as an entity has felt. The state is still growing this year. This financial year we'll probably get a 5 to 6% growth rate when the figures come out. Next year, slower, but I still think we will still experience reasonable growth. And that's what I want to address now. I guess that's the environment that we all understand. It's the external and national environment that we face. What matters to me in the job that I've got now and in the government I lead is what we do. And there's two aspects to that I want to talk about today. First, what the state government should do in terms of looking after its own house. That is important. It's a significant part of our economy. And secondly, what a state government should do in terms of working with the private sector to make sure that we maintain an economic expansion and indeed even do better. The one thing we don't need to do is to talk ourselves into a recession. We don't need to do that. I have spent far more time than I thought I would sitting around with the Prime Minister and other state premiers at COAG meetings. I think there's been four so far. They come very frequently. And there is a difference. I can sit around the table and see blue sky for Western Australia still, things to be optimistic about. To some extent, Queensland can too. The other states can't. They basically look at their shoes all day. And there is not that sense of optimism. There is a big difference between Western Australia, to a lesser extent Queensland, and the rest of Australia. And we need to recognise that and make sure we don't get completely drawn in to the sort of negativity that's around. Let me start with keeping our own house in order. And again, I'm sure some of these aspects came up this morning, so I'm just going to go through it quite quickly, what we're doing. The first thing that a government needs to do is to look at itself, and we've done that over these first 6 months, to look at the public sector itself. Now, our public sector, due respect to public servants out here, is not in as good shape as it should have been, or should be. We've lost many good people over the years, and I think there has been a loss of professionalism, in some cases a loss of independence to the public sector. Many public servants, I think, are confused as to exactly what their role is. So that's been important. It might sound boring to a business audience, but we have to get our organisation, the government sector, working well. So we did. We established a public sector commission for the sole purpose of restoring the professionalism and independence of our public service. Public servants need to be talented, committed, and have the courage to speak out to their minister and say what should be done or shouldn't be done, to offer constructive criticism if that's what's required. We need to restore that, and we're on the way to doing that. Public service numbers. The size of the West Australian public service increased 25% during the Labor years. 22,000 additional public servants. Now, that's not sustainable, can't be maintained. So we have imposed a cap on the total size of the public sector, basically at 99,000 people. I think that's reasonable. And we will work within that number, that overriding cap, to ensure that we have more productive outcomes in each of the various government agencies. Interesting little aside, the West Australian public sector now is 67% female. Interesting little observation. So we need to also look at flexibility of employment conditions, times of work. It is a different workforce than what it was before. Boards and committees. I'm sure many of you serve on boards and committees, and I thank you for the work you do. I wonder if you know how many of there are. We still don't know. We're counting. So far, we're over 1,000. Over 1,000 boards and committees advising government. Now, that is important, that there is all that source of advice, consultation takes place. But I just ask you, over 1,000, 80% of them are paid positions. It's not even the cost of paying people to attend or serve on boards. Paying is appropriate, but it's the resources consumed in terms of public service, time, and I've got to say, really, do we taxpayers get value for money? Queensland has 600, South Australia 375. The target that we're setting as a government, which we discussed it briefly in Cabinet this morning, is that during this term of government we intend to reduce that to 500. That still seems a hell of a lot to me, but a 50% reduction in boards and committees. So I've asked every minister to look carefully at their agencies, to review it totally. And that is important. What's happened over successive governments, as new issues have arisen, new bodies have been created, and the old ones have just been left in place. We have a Rock Lobster Fishermen's Wives Committee. Not quite sure what that does. Sure they do good work. They might not be there at the end of the term. Local government. Again, an area of governance. Controversial. Everyone lives in a suburb or town, has a view. Now, Western Australia has got 139 local authorities. 85 of them, 85, have less than 2,000 adults resident in the area. I mean, it's just not credible. Not one person in local government has been able to say, to look me in the eye and say, that's a good structure. It's not. So as the Minister, John Castrilli, has said, basically to local government, you've been talking about this for years, you've got 6 months to come up with a proposition. Otherwise, don't be surprised if the government starts to act. And we will. We will. It'll either mean reducing the number of local governments or changing their function, at least for the smaller ones. But we're not going to have 139 out there, 85 with less than 2,000 people. In the financial area, and I hopefully won't repeat some of the things that Tim would have talked about, 3% efficiency dividend. To ask government agencies, given that history I've just outlined, to save 3 cents in the dollar is not a big ask. And I expect ministers to demand of their CEOs that they do that, that they actually do some of the hard things and improve the efficiencies and operations of their agencies. So I know there's a bit of tension around about that and there's various campaigns, you expect all that, but we'll not resolve from that. That is a reasonable requirement. not only to make departments look at themselves and the way they operate, but also to improve services and to make sure that the taxpayer's dollar is well spent. Capital Works, that's been in the news a bit. Sorry if you wanted a new football stadium, you're not going to get one for a little while. But this year, the state government will spend $7.7 billion on Capital Works. It's an enormous program, significantly up on previous year. And it's probably a bit of an overlay from the previous government and the very high period of commodity prices. So we have, as a new and responsible government, reset the priorities. We have put the new football stadium off the agenda for 2 years. However, we are talking to rugby and soccer about a rectangular stadium. We've brought forward the new children's hospital. I said during the election campaign we would do that, and I don't apologise for that. And I think all of you would agree, we desperately need a world-class children's hospital to be built. We've decided to extend the Northern Suburbs rail line to the new growth areas. We've committed to building the new police complex. Committed to building 1,000 houses, public housing and country houses, where it's needed. So we've restructured our Capital Works program. We've also, as a government, made decisions. Some people are saying, what are you doing about the economic crisis? This government has made a whole series of decisions on Capital Works projects that had lapsed, been deferred, or were just sort of somehow drifting in the ether. They include the Muir Shire sale yards, important for the farm industry, Kalgoorlie Hospital, the Albany Hospital, Derby Prison, and so I can go on. Every month we make major commitments on worthy Capital Works projects, ones that matter in terms of quality of the service that they do. Country local government, they're doing all right. Brendan's given them $100 million for minor Capital Works, but that is important. That will be significant. All those little projects in country towns that have been neglected for years can now happen as they get significant funding on a continuing basis. We want to make country towns better off, and I think everyone in this room knows that despite the prosperity of this state over the last 20 years, country areas have largely missed out. Now, we can't wind the clock backwards, but we can make those towns better, improve their facilities, hopefully encourage more people there. We also, in line with dealing with problems, are about stopping black holes. Last week, we announced a 25% increase in electricity prices. I didn't expect to be cheered for that, but I think the public, don't underestimate, the public understood the problems, some of the mistakes that had been made, and they recognised that price increase was inevitable. And Peter Collier, as Minister, put in place, I think, a very effective, well-targeted program to help those who are genuinely in hardship in meeting those bills. So all those financial measures are about keeping our house in order. And I've said before, service standards matter. And I'll give you two examples that has not been neglected. This year, when schools went back, for the first time in years, including the 5 years I was Education Minister, it didn't happen. For the first time, every government school had all of its teachers there on day one. And just think about the logistics of that. 800 government schools across the state, 22,000 teachers, spread over an area the size of Europe. They were all there starting on day one. And I compliment the Education Department and Minister for achieving that. Kim Hames in Health, we've got an aggressive program of improving health services in all sorts of ways, not just about spending money, but improving the delivery of service. And the test is, that Kim has set for himself, is a 4-hour turnaround in emergency departments. If that can be done, and phased in over the next 2 or 3 years, that will be a profound improvement in health and confidence in our public health system. But if you go into an emergency department, you're either going to be treated, sent home, or you're going to be admitted within that 4-hour period. And that's the sort of standard, service standard, that I think everyone should rightly respect. So that's what government's doing, and that's important, and we will continue striving in all those areas. But the second aspect and the bigger game for Western Australia is what government can do with industry to keep a momentum of this economy through these very difficult economic times. And there's a number of things, and I'll again just go through the list there. Lifting the ban on uranium mining. Clearly a political issue at the election campaign. I was in Japan 2 weeks ago. I met the foreign minister, Nakasone. I met the world heads of Mitsui, Mitsubishi, the chairman of most of the steel mills, and so on. I'd say four or five times the comment was made, thank you for lifting the ban on uranium mining in Western Australia. Japan has taken a policy decision that it's going cleaner in its energy and it's going nuclear. And you've already seen significant activity from Japan in the uranium sector. It's a bright spot in mining exploration, and we will see Western Australia, the world's leading mining economy, also become a significant producer of uranium within the next 3 to 5 years. And why shouldn't we? We are a mining economy. The Esperance Port, I meant project approvals, a source of great frustration. We will not lower standards on issues of environment or heritage, whatever it might be, but it is reasonable that decisions be made quickly and that there be a certain process. So ministers, and I hope you can bear this out, whether it be in planning or in mining or environment, are making decisions. Not always as easy it might seem from the outside, but decisions are being made. We've also got a ministerial committee, which I chair, going through looking at longer term reforms, amending, for example, environmental legislation, enhancing the independence of the EPA, but not having multiple points of appeal through the process. So you might win or you might lose, but you'll get a certain result in a restricted period of time. Certainty to the process. There are a whole lot of specific projects that the government is playing a role with industry in pushing. The Ord River expansion, something that goes back to 1972, something that has been worked on for the last 20 years. Finally, 2 weeks ago, machinery was on site, widening and lengthening the irrigation channels of the Ord River. That will double, more than double, the irrigated area, and the Commonwealth and the state will jointly spend nearly $400 million on expanding that and improving all of the social infrastructure that goes with it. I just want to say a little bit about agriculture. I think Minister's over there, Terry Redman, who's just been wandering around the Gulf region looking at agriculture. I went to Japan. I didn't go with the intention of talking about agriculture, but it was raised with me by Nakasone and by a number of other people. And just a couple of observations about agriculture. It has not received, in my view, the attention from government and indeed from the private sector and particularly the corporate sector that it should have. Agriculture is a great industry for this state, but it has not advanced as it could have. In the early 1970s, agriculture and mining were roughly equivalent industries. They produced about the same value of product. By 1990, mining was 3 times the size of agriculture. Today, mining is 12 times the size of agriculture. Agriculture's grown, but not as quickly as it could. And the fundamentals are there in Asia. Huge population, urbanisation, rising living standards. Japan only has 40% self-sufficiency in food. And we're now getting at last the movement on free trade. Japan imports $80 billion worth of food a year. Only $5 billion comes from Australia and only $1 billion from Western Australia. Huge opportunity. Terry Redman's been in the Gulf region. I mean, he told us this morning at Cabinet that in Saudi Arabia, they produce 7 million tonnes of wheat a year by irrigation farming. I mean, imagine the opportunity that we have here for becoming a major and increased supplier of food products into those parts of the world. Food self-sufficiency, food security, and food quality is a huge issue. So we're going to give a strong attention to agriculture. Some other projects briefly. Oakajee, one that you may have heard me speak about before. I regard the development of a deep sea port at Oakajee, 30 kilometres to the north of Geraldton, and the development of the rail infrastructure and a purpose-built, world-scale, world-class industrial estate as the single most important project for Western Australia and probably, in this environment, the most important project for Australia. It's not going to be easy. It's got a long and checkered history. There are many players. There are many conflicting interests. And the cost of putting that project together is very substantial, the order of $3 billion. The state, hopefully with the support of the Commonwealth, but if we don't get that, we'll go it alone. The state will build the outer harbour, the breakwaters, the channels, the turning circles and the like. And the private sector will build all the internal facilities, basically the iron ore berths, loading facilities, conveyors, reclaimers and the like. The state will own and manage an industrial estate with a wide buffer zone and ask for private sector investment in power, water supply, transport, whatever else. It's a chance to build something that this state doesn't have, that indeed this country doesn't have. Gladstone in Queensland is as close as we get to a world-class site. We have been for the last 50 years trying to turn mining companies into manufacturers, whether it be steel or whatever else. We've been trying to turn petroleum companies into chemical companies, and it hasn't worked. We need to attract to this state some of the customers. Smaller enterprises compared to the BHPs or the Woodsides, smaller enterprises who are customers to bring some of their production capacity to Western Australia. And they'll only do it if they can simply put their plant down in a pre-developed site with all the services available. If we do that, different companies, different objectives, we might finally achieve, I guess, what Charles Court was on about 50 years ago, that dream of doing more with our natural resources. So the state's going to do that. I'm optimistic the Commonwealth will join with us. Further north, you know, we lost the INPEX project. I haven't quite given up. Still give us a 30% chance of getting it. And I discussed that at some length with a number of major players in Tokyo. But we are proceeding in developing an LNG precinct to the north of Broome. That's not the spectacular part of the Kimberley coast. It's flat tableland. No people living within probably 30 or 40 kilometres of the area. That's important. We're trying to do that by negotiation. The timetable is the end of this month. If we can't do it by negotiation, the state will resume the land. I'll do that reluctantly, but we will do it. We will not hold up economic development, and we will not deny the people of the Kimberley, and particularly the Aboriginal people, the opportunity for some economic independence and some economic security. There are a whole host of private sector projects, you know, and don't let's forget them. BHP, Rio Tinto, both looking at major iron ore expansions. The CITIC project at Cape Preston, early stages construction. Woodside, about a third to halfway through the Pluto project. The Gorgon project, Chevron's Gorgon project on Barrow Island, you know, again, been around since the mid-90s, heading towards final investment decision mid-year this year. That is now a $50 billion Australian dollar project, $50 billion. There are other petroleum projects, there are other iron ore projects. This state has in front of it, if we can get it right, if we can get all those projects over the line, an extraordinary period of advancement. In Perth, pushing ahead with sinking the railway through the city, that project does depend on the Commonwealth. We need the Commonwealth to come there, because there's no immediate return to that, but if we can sink the rail line through the city, there will be immense opportunities for commercial property development over coming years, and bear in mind, most of the land belongs to the state. The waterfront, we basically shelved or abandoned the previous government's plans for the waterfront, but can I reassure you, those who are interested in the city, we are going to proceed with the waterfront development, one that I would expect to be virtually totally privately sector funded, and it'll be a more modest project, a more tasteful project, but important. And who knows, maybe even the South Perth Ferry can come right into the city. So we're looking at something that's been quite dramatic there. There's other projects, and I won't go through them. And I'll conclude on this point. What I've tried to do today is to say there are two things that I believe the state government needs to be concentrating on. Getting its own house in order, and there is a job to be done there. And I don't, as I say, apologise for what we're doing in that area. I want an independent, professional, effective public service, and I want quality and improved services across every area of government. We will respond when there are particular crises occur, as we did with the closure of the Ravensthorpe Nickel project. So where there's a particular problem, we as a state government will react and work with the communities to try and ameliorate any adverse effects, because the reality is there has been about 5,000 job losses in the mining industry so far. I'll tell you what we're not going to do. We're not going to curl up in the corner and pretend it's all too hard and just hope that the dark clouds of recession sort of go over the top and then we can bob up in a few years' time. I will not do that, and I'm sure that no one in this room would be willing to accept that type of approach. Similarly, we're not going to be engaging any sort of across-the-board rescue or stimulus package, so don't look in your mailbox for a $950 cheque from the state government. It will not be coming. That's not a very well-targeted way of dealing with a problem. And we're not going to talk ourselves into a recession in this state. We are not going to do that, either as a government or as a private sector. We're just not going to do that. Anyone who thought this period of Asian expansion through this century was going to be just a straight line, upward path, would have to be either silly or naive. Asian expansion is the economic event of this century, but it was never going to be a smooth, even path. It was always going to be a jagged path upwards. And I remind you, the fundamentals have not changed. Population growth, urbanisation, rising living standards, demand for raw materials, demand for food security. And in some sense, in almost a bizarre way, some of the economics are going our way. The Australian dollar has fallen, 40%. It's cheap. Interest rates are low. Many of the major companies around the world who have their big share of their world portfolios in Western Australia have had periods of high commodity prices. Many of them are cashed up. They have the capacity, even in times of tight credit, to put in place projects. I have been surprised by a steady queue of major world companies coming to me and saying, that project we've been talking about for 10 years, we're actually having another look at it. This is a good environment. Construction costs are down, the dollar's low, financing costs probably pretty good. We've got cash reserves in any case. And I am optimistic. And I will conclude with this comment. We are not immune from the global crisis. We are not immune from the effects nationally across the Australian economy. But Western Australia, while we are affected and being affected, can be countercyclical. We can actually be a force in Australia, a countercyclical force during this recession. There is the prospect, if government and industry continue as they are now working together, of literally thousands and thousands of jobs to be created. And I'm confident that we will do that as a government and that you will help in the private sector. So thank you for listening. Don't curl up in the corner. Dust off those old reports and think aggressively. Think about quality projects, quality people, quality projects, and big picture. Because the history of this state has always been the big advances are made during the difficult times. Thank you.